Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Okay, and remember, Saints, God prescribes how he is to be worshiped. And one of the things he forbids is trying to worship him through any image, graven image of any sort. Notice Exodus 20, verse 3 through 5, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath. Okay, it doesn't matter the justification, like this stupid little plaque that circulates, this little meme that I'm reading to you about halfway through, purports, okay? Doesn't matter what the image is or what the reasoning is, it's a sin. Or that is in the water under the earth. He covers everything, the heaven above, okay? Anything, any image of anything in the heaven above, little statues of Jesus and all that, or in the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Okay, Exodus 20, verse 3 through 5. Let's continue and finish this little foolish plaque that I can't imagine that you're born again and you go with this stuff and you pass this stuff on. You need to get saved if you're passing stupidity like this along, because you don't know Jesus. If you agree with carrying a cross in your pocket because you might forget Jesus. The only way you can forget Jesus is because you don't know him. And once you've been born again, you can't forget him, even if you're living in sin, because you're going to live in conviction of your sin by the Holy Spirit. Okay? You know, there's a comedian I saw where he was doing a thing where he kind of preaches through his comedian. A lot of these comedians do that, you might notice. And he's talking about some guy, you know, that gets his tattoo all around him of his dad, you know, of a snake on his chest and all, because his dad died by a cobra bite, you know, and stuff. And then he ends it by saying, you know, basically, you needed this tattoo to remind you of your dad. If you need that to remind you of your dad, you certainly don't love your dad or didn't love him. And you don't love the memory of who he is in your life. That's just stupidity. This guy, this comedian, isn't even saved. This doesn't make sense in any regard. But most of all, it's condemned of God because it's something physical associated with trying to worship him. And that's not going to work because he won't allow it. It's simply an understanding, this little thing continues, between the Savior and me. Isn't that interesting? It is? That's no different than somebody saying, I have a deal worked out with the man upstairs. That means they don't know him, okay? Because he doesn't work out private deals with anybody. He told you that he commandeth all men everywhere to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive him, to be forgiven of your sins and made a new creature in Christ. Okay, you don't have this little private understanding between you and Jesus. Okay, you obey what he said to everybody in the common salvation, Titus 2, 11 and 12. The salvation of Christ, he is salvation that is common to all who truly know him. Okay, it continues. When I put my hand in my pocket to bring out a coin or a key, the cross is there to remind me of the price he paid for me. Is that what Jesus said to do, to remember his death till he come? No, it's communion, okay? Where we take the elements, and which is symbolic of his death, the death of his body was broken so that his blood could be poured out. That's biblically sanctioned symbolic usage, very limited. But carrying a cross in your pocket, it's ludicrous. It reminds me, it continues, too, to be thankful for my blessings day by day and to strive to serve him better in all that I do and say. It's also a daily reminder of the peace and comfort I share with all who know my master and give themselves to his care. Well, if they truly give themselves to his care, they don't need a physical object to carry around in their pocket, because they're walking in the Spirit, being born again and temples of the Holy Spirit. Then he finishes, this thing finishes, so I carry a cross in my pocket, reminding no one but me that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, if only I'll let him be. Okay, anyway, foolish stupidity somebody passed on today, this week, and I thought I would definitely address this. Let's talk a little bit more about this, saints. The Savior never instructed anyone with this understanding that they needed to carry some little object in their pocket. In fact, he forbids such. You might recall in Joshua chapter 6 and 7, Israel brought great harm upon themselves. A man named Achan, A-C-H-A-N, actually took of the accursed object, some little, you know, icon, which is what the cross symbol is, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. And he took of the accursed thing that God forbid, that is, worship through any icon, idol, object, graven image, etc. And so he brought a curse upon Israel, and God told Israel to stop praying until they removed this sin. And that's what he's telling you, friend. If you're depending on some physical object in your supposed vain, actually false worship of the Almighty God, he's calling you to repent. He's calling you to stop praying, that is, stop trying to worship him that way. Repent, get your life right with God, and let him circumcise your heart. The Bible says we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, notice, in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Okay? We worship God in spirit and in truth, which I believe I have that here. Yeah. But the hour cometh, the woman at the well that Jesus was talking to in John 4 spoke of a geographical location, but Jesus said, the hour cometh and now is. See, because Christ's kingdom came when Christ came, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Doesn't matter where they are on his earth, or his universe for that matter, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I want you to memorize that, John 4, 23 and 24. It simply does not matter what graven image or what physical icon or idol is depicted or used to try to worship God. It's only the religious who are not born again who attempt to do such. Those who have a personal relationship with the risen Savior, he's no longer on that cross. The Bible says he died once. They need no physical reminder. He's their hope. He dwells in them by the Spirit. The love of God is shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost, and they hear his voice, Romans 5, 5. John 10, etc. Amen. There is no power, saints, in a physical cross. including the actual literal pieces of wood Jesus died upon 2,000 years ago, much less some modern man-made trinket that somebody carries around like a good luck charm in their pocket. Okay? That is absolute, has no power. And this is a Catholic type pagan thing that these people are actually doing, whether they realize it or not. In fact, the Catholic Church for many years sold pieces of wood, like splinters of wood or something, from what was supposed to be the actual cross of Jesus Christ. I mean, they sold so much wood, you could have built, you know, a city or two. And supposedly, those were all from the cross Jesus died on. First of all, that means nothing. The cross Jesus died on, saints, was a mere altar on which the Lamb of God offered his life, his body, and his blood. That's what matters, not the wooden cross, the mere altar that he died on. We are not to know, furthermore, any man after the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:16, wherefore henceforth or from now on know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Okay, and that's right before he says the next verse, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ, Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, so we don't even know Jesus after the flesh anymore. We know him as we worship him in spirit and in truth, fueled by his word, where faith, or by faith, and the scripture says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's how we worship God, not with physical objects. Anyone can carry a physical good luck charm or an idol around his neck or in his pocket. Most don't want to die to self, though, as Jesus requires, in order to follow him. That's what Jesus said. You got to die to yourself. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow him. That's the way we worship Jesus as his disciples. Okay, anybody can go bow down to some idol, go attend some so-called church service. Any old devil can do that. Okay? And that's not our main topic today, but it's obvious to any Bible student that's honest with the scriptures that most of the Sunday morning gatherings are anything but true worship to the Lord. Okay? But they don't want to repent. See, men refuse to repent because their own deeds are evil. John chapter 3, verse 19 through 21. But they'll go give some kind of, fake adherence to religion, as long as they don't have to change. And that's what happens when you repent. The Holy Spirit comes in you when you put your faith in Christ upon repenting, and you become a new creature in Christ. But if you don't want to give up your life in this world and you want to run your own life, well, you're in rebellion against your Maker, who is the judge of your eternal soul, and you're going to hell forever unless you stop and repent. Jesus conquered death, sin, Satan, and Satan by dying. And that's what we must do. And the only way to conquer Satan, death, and sin is to be crucified with Christ, Romans 6, Hebrews 2:14, Galatians 2:20, etc. Jesus Christ didn't come and die on the cross and rise from the dead so that his people would remember, could remember him by a little piece of wood, a good luck charm they carried around in their pocket or around their neck. Such is condemned repeatedly in Holy Scripture. In fact, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8 that there will be no idolater that will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Every list of sins in the Bible, soul-damning sins, including Galatians 5:19 through 21, 17 soul-damning sins. Idolatry is condemned as a sin that will damn your soul. Either Jesus Christ is first in your life, the first love of your life, after being born again, or you are an idolater. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. He that is not with me is against me. To say that someone should carry a physical object to remember Christ, carry around some object, would be like saying one should wear a shirt with a picture of his dad on it to remember his dad. That's ridiculous. Okay? One might say, but Jesus died and he's away for now, so this is how we remember him. No. Number one, Jesus never told anyone to carry around a piece of wood in their pocket or around their neck. Number two, he told you to be born again, to repent and be born again. Okay? He does the born again miracle. You repent, you admit what he already knows, and you know that you're a sinner. Put your faith in him and surrender your life to him, and then you'll be a new creature in Christ. Then you deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. Okay? And number three, Jesus is alive. He always has been and always will be. He rose from the dead after being buried for 3 days. He's reigning as the great intercessor at the right hand of the Father in heaven, Hebrews chapter 7, 24 through 26. The love of God is shed abroad in the hearts of God's people. They need no reminder from some physical object they wear in their pocket and stumble upon a few times in a day. Oh, remember Jesus, I just touched a wooden cross. Ridiculous. To those who truly know the risen Savior, their hearts are daily fueled by his word. They're filled with his spirit and not some physical object or idol. Okay? 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. This is a little known scripture to most. It says, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." 1 John 3:24. The second chapter, 1 John, says, "But we have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." That's the presence of the Holy Spirit in those that are born again. They are the temples of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:6. 1 John 2:27, "But the anointing," that's the Holy Spirit, "which ye have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." So the scripture speaks in the New Testament much about the presence of the Holy Spirit in the believer. One more, Romans 8:9, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." Notice, the Spirit of God dwells in us. "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Romans 8:9, and that's what you got here. Anybody who follows these little things like this idolatrous suggestion and assertion of a little cross in your pocket is not a temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And, you know, the person who sent me this, it's a social media post, and hundreds of people clicked like on it. Unbelievable. I don't think anybody objected, except for me. So this is clear proof, folks, that so many who claim to be Christians are not. They have no clue of the original gospel. They're simply not born again, and they're not being told they must repent and receive Christ and be born again to be a Christian. They're being used by the prey, P-R-E-Y, and made merchandise of the false priesthood of pastors we have in the modern church today. In fact, a recent survey showed that only 13% of youth pastors today have a biblical world view. Maybe we'll do a message on that. That's not our main message today, but that is shocking, okay? Shocking. It really is, and then it's really not. So the cross that Jesus died on, again, was a one-time altar upon which the Son of God offered that one final perfect sacrifice. And it is one of the last things he says is, it is finished. And that means simply that the sin debt is paid in full, and that is by the one who was qualified, the only one who qualified to do such, John 19, verse 30, the one perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, one time on Calvary's cross, perfectly satisfied the claims of the Father's justice to justify fallen mankind. He's no longer on that cross, friends. He is risen from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, making intercession for us. And he dwells in the hearts of each and every one of his people. So wearing a cross around your neck or in your pocket, any object shaped like a cross or anything else, has nothing to do with Jesus Christ or following him. It's a violation of his word. If we need a piece of wood in our pocket to remind us of Christ who died on that cross, it's obvious that we are not born again. Okay? There is no power in any piece of wood, even if it's shaped like a cross, even though Jesus died once on a wooden cross. Because, see, that's just it. He died only once. There's no more cross. He only died once. It was a perfect sacrifice. So it does not need to be repeated. The power is in Christ, though, friends, not in a physical cross, not even if it was the actual cross that Jesus died on. And you know, if we had that actual cross Jesus died on, we all know that there'd be people offering millions or hundreds of millions or billions of dollars to buy it, and all it would do is bring a curse to them. Cursed is he that dies on a cross. Does it not say that in Scripture, like as in Galatians? Actually, it's Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That would be being crucified, if you will, as Christ was, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So Jesus was hung on a tree, and that cursed thing brought the cure to our sin from the Savior, and only from the Savior. Okay, so Christ redeemed men. He redeemed us by dying in our place, enduring the dreadful wrath of God against us. The curse of God fell on Christ as man's substitute. He did not become sinful in himself, but man's sins were placed upon him. In fact, we read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I would be remiss not to share that, where it speaks of Let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus did not sin. Okay, he was the sinless sacrifice that cured us from sin. He delivered men from the law by bearing its dreadful curse in death, apart from the death or Christ, the death of Christ, his death, there could be no salvation. The law taught that when condemned criminals were hanged on a tree, it was a sign of their being under the curse of God, according to Deuteronomy 21:23. And here the Holy Spirit is seeing in that passage, according to the Believer's Bible Commentary, a prophecy of the manner in which the Savior would die to bear the curse for his creation, or his creatures, us, mankind. He was hung between heaven and earth as though unworthy of either. In his death by crucifixion, He is said to have been hanged on a tree, according to Acts 5:30 and 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. That scripture actually says, who his own self, that's Christ, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And the way we do that is that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit and the grace of God in our hearts, and not by, as we worship him in spirit and in truth, that is according to the truth, the word of God, and not according to physical objects, saints. Okay, and so notice after he rose from the dead, because as the scriptures establish throughout the New Testament, especially in the book of Hebrews and 1 Peter 3:18, that Jesus died one time. It was a perfect sacrifice, and therefore it only had to happen once. And notice what Jesus says about all power and how it's in him. Notice all power. After he rose from the dead, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. We serve the Lord Christ, my friends, as the New Testament specifically declares. He says nothing here or anywhere about carrying something physical around to remind you of him, or getting a tattoo. I mean, that's delusional. Sorry, guys, that's just delusion. Such idolatry is only for those who do not know him. That's how you know who knows him. Those who worship him in spirit and in truth, that is according to the written word of God, which is a lamp to our feet and a light into our path, with the Holy Spirit living inside of us, having been born again, having experienced the miracle of regeneration. Amen. A miracle only God can do, and he does it on the inside of men as they obey him and answering his call to repent and receive Christ. Amen. There is no power in a piece of wood, even if it's in the shape of the cross. All power is in the risen Savior himself, Jesus Christ. When Jesus spoke of remembering him, he spoke of the cross he once died on, okay, for our sins. So carrying a cross in your pocket or around your neck is simply a cheap counterfeit of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross Jesus commanded that we take up is not putting a little icon in your pocket. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about saying with John the Baptist, Lord, you must increase, but I must decrease. He's talking about letting go and letting God, denying yourself, taking up the cross, following him. Let him live through you. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, which loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. So the cross itself has no value. It was merely the altar upon which the Son of God died for the sins of the world. This would be like saying we need to get a tattoo, you know, to remember one of our dead relatives. As I mentioned earlier, this is idolatry, friends. If we know and love God, we don't have to have something physical. God forbids it. Okay, we already read those, the first two commandments of the ten. Pagan Catholics wear something called a scapula around their neck. They got more witchcraft and paganism in that church than you could actually ever learn. But the scapular, as many of you ex-Catholics like myself remember, I forgot what the promise was, but if you have this scapular on when you die, you're going to go to heaven. It's like a good luck charm. The only reason why somebody's going to heaven is because they know they are known by Jesus Christ as his child, because they have answered his call to come to him and repent and receive him as the Lord of their lives, and they're letting him reign in their lives. Amen. Not because they have something physical around their body. That's totally witchcraft, wicked and evil, and pagan. Okay, we worship him in spirit and in truth, and instead of having to be reminded by some cross in our pocket or around our neck, we should memorize and meditate upon the many scriptures of the blood of his cross, for example, Colossians 1:20, and take up the cross that Jesus mandated that we take up to follow him. It doesn't matter how much you use mere human reasoning to justify this idolatry. God says that he will not be worshipped via idols, but only in spirit and in truth. He will not be worshipped that way. And anyone seeking to worship him via idols of any kind, a small or large icon, it doesn't matter, is going to be damned to hell forever, because all idolaters will suffer the pain, conscious torment of the lake of fire. Revelation 21:8. Okay, saints, hope this helps you. As we close, Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you. There it is again. Dwell in you. Okay, and he does in every born-again believer. He that raised up Christ from the dead, that's the Holy Spirit, shall quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Verse 14, Romans 8, as we close, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month. And your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site. And you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon. And you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so. And a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.